This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth and a quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Our Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for how you helped us in this service. Thanks for everyone seated physically. Thanks for everyone at home. Thank you because of the blessings that you have promised for us this morning. We receive them all in the name of Jesus. Even as we go into today's lesson, we pray that you inspire me, O God. Pray for utterance, pray for guidance, even in my speech, even in my words, even in examples I'll be giving. Pray that all these things, they would bring forth the understanding that you want this particular lesson to have in the heart of your people. Thank you, our Heavenly Father, for in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. The theme of the lesson still remains the great harvest, the church and the household of faith. And today we are in lesson 9. The topic for the lesson is principles and practices of redemption within the church and household of faith. And this is the part 3. Last week we treated the second part. I know that we were really blessed, you know, but today we'll be moving, you know, forward to further examine these principles and practices of redemption within the church and the household. Can we say amen? Our text, James chapter 5, verse 7. And he said, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain." I read 1 Corinthians 3, 4 to 9. Has also been an anchor scripture for us. It says, "For while one seeth I am of Paul, and another I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watereth anything, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planted and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building." Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 to 14. Scripture says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit, with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory." Then lastly, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 to 11. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Our objective today is to show the redemptive program and labor of the Holy Ghost that separates the field from manifest works of ungodliness and cultivates an honest field. I take that again, to show the redemptive program and labor of the Holy Ghost that separate the field from manifest. And that what manifest is obvious, visible, that which can be seen, the manifest works of ungodliness, and cultivate an honest field. You know, that 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 to 11, the way we read it, you know, some people have taken that and said, it is at the point that you believed with your heart and confessed with your mouth the Lordship of Jesus, that you were washed, sanctified, and justified. Meaning that all those things that were mentioned, because he was mentioning some practical, obvious,
manifest works of the flesh, right?
Was mentioning, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Say, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers. So all these things you were mentioning were manifest works of the flesh, right?
Which he now said, but it says, such were some of you, right? So he was not saying that immediately you believed and you confessed, you are already immediately washed, sanctified and justified. Then you are no longer like that. I don't know if you understand. Because the fact that you are born again, because you could see it in the Corinthian church, we could still see a man. He said, as it is commonly reported amongst you. And that was a church, right? A manifest work of the flesh was reported in the church. So, meaning that the work of washing had not taken place on some of them. The work of sanctification had not yet been done on some of them. And that justification was talking about a work that still needed to be done on the field of the believer. Because to say that, oh, it is immediately you believe and confess that all those things are no longer, then we will not be sincere with ourselves. Because after believing and confessing, you are still going to see certain obvious works of the flesh that are still very manifest. And some people that take this place, they say, oh, we just begin to confess it. Such were some of you. I am no longer like that. No. This thing is a labor that must be done by the Holy Ghost, and then the husbandry, which is the field, must collaborate with that labor. So if you don't collaborate, I beg to put it to you that you can be in church for another 30 years. Can we say amen? And the manifest works of the flesh will still continue. Or you go into church and you see fornication. Going to church, you will see adultery. You go into church, you will see people that are chronic liars. He said you are defrauding one another. He was talking to a church. He was not talking to somebody outside. These were people that had believed in the Lordship of Jesus in their heart, and they have confessed with their mouth. But these things were still very much in their fields. So what we want to talk about, we want to talk about the program and labor that the Holy Ghost bestows to ensure that every field is delivered from these manifest works of the flesh. So redeeming the field from manifest works of ungodliness. According to God's wisdom, the process of redemption is progressively calibrated according to the measure of what the field can bear at each stage. Every purchased possession does not initially have full awareness of all the works of redemption required within it. Hence, the process begins by addressing what is readily manifest. The first labor of redemption bestowed upon the field by the Lord of the harvest is to make it honest. As he labors within the field, he imparts faith and wisdom by which the believer confronts and overcomes identified manifest works of ungodliness and is brought into awareness of those yet unidentified for further dealings. How many of you can testify that, you know, at a particular point, there was a work of the flesh that was like the baba in your life? I feel like if I can overcome this particular work of the flesh, I am holy. Because that's what you can identify. But there are works of the flesh that you have not yet identified, but it's there. But that one is standing as your guard. If you can take that one, Holy Ghost will still begin to work to bring further works of the flesh to your visibility. To show that no man really is free from works of the flesh. So they address that one that you can identify. Easily identify. Ah, pastor, that's the one that you can quickly run and go and come and say, sir, this particular one. No. But there are still some that they will now begin to show you. When they are raising standards in the house, they begin to show that this one too is a work of the flesh. That if they had told you before, you will say never. Somebody might not know that love for party is a work of the flesh. Because you just feel that, well, every time we are outside, you know, he's an outside kind of a soul that needs to find entrance. Can we say amen? Amen. So until they bring some stand, you will never know that that thing is a work of the flesh. Although the Lord asked this field to the church and set them within a household, a believer may fail to submit to the order of family life within the church and household, thereby resisting the redemptive process ordained by the Lord of the harvest and the co-laborers he raises
for the work.
Hebrews 13 verse 17 was saying that obey them that have the rule over you. No, because there's a way we can be. No, the reason why we are teaching process, why we are teaching program, is because before you even say that you want to begin to practice, there's a way they must first of all rearrange you. There's a way you must see that work of the flesh that will instigate what you are going to do. There's a way you are going to see it, and hatred for that thing will rise within your heart. And it will instruct steps that you are going to take to ensure that that thing is stopped in your life. The Holy Ghost establishes standards for submission to authority and fellowship within the saints according to the apostles' doctrine, wherein faith in the Lord and love toward all the saints bring the husbandry to relinquish fleshly impulses that once ruled the mind and the body. You know, mind you, we can't talk about apostles' doctrine if you have not first of all heard the word. Because it is word and doctrine. So, from the word, Holy Ghost will begin to flesh out things for you so that you can begin to pattern yourself according to an order. So, in fact, what we call elementary works of sanctification is a very strong work. That when you open it up, a person that has used that thing very well, there's a way he will come out. Look at Stephen, what did he use? Look at Philip, what did he use? He was using certain things that he was downloading by engaging. No, the reason why we teach maintaining a spirit-filled life, maintaining fellowship, is because that thing is meant to bring wisdom to you. It's meant to bring what they call faith. Say faith. Faith is not just, oh, I believe and I receive. Faith is a substance that enters the heart, that when that thing enters the heart, why? Because faith is a reagent of washing. See, washing of the word. When you hear washing, you're talking about faith. There can never be washing when there's no faith in the heart. So when heaven wants to wash you of certain things, they direct faith to your heart, but faith cannot come except by hearing. So, hearing and hearing by the word of God is what administers the substance of faith into your heart, such that by reason of that substance, washing can take place. See, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? Say, by giving heed. So, we can see cleansing is tied to the word. So, cleansing, washing, when you are talking about those things, we are talking about the workings of faith that has entered the heart. So, when you believe, one of the things that the Holy Ghost wants to do, he wants to wash you.
Like, you know, one of the things that parents fight their children for is in the place of taking their bait. When you enter the bathroom, you just see them. After 2 minutes, they are out. Say, this is soap on your neck. This is soap on your back. In fact, water didn't even touch the back, self. How is that baiting? Because the Holy Ghost wants to wash you. How many of you have seen that thing? When that woman, she will hold them like this sponge made from bamboo. I don't know what they used to make it. And they will now begin to scrub the child. Nobody odor can stay. But if they give you, just say, oh, just do, and then you are out. But Holy Ghost, that washing is ken-ken, they use. It's look. And the way he uses the agency of the world to get this thing done. Because the things that have stuck to us, habits, attitudes that have stuck to us, they cannot wash us by just, you know that thing when you want to baptize and you just sprinkle like this. They call it washing. Say washing. See, and you were washed. How do you wash something? You don't wash something, but you know, when you want to see somebody's washing clothes, and some of our mothers see the way we are washing, like, hey, this is how to wash. You say, you will see that like this. Why? Because washing requires effort. There's an effort in the place of washing. If not, we will never relinquish our fleshly impulses. The redemptive work is possible as the believer maintains the spirit-filled life, constantly checking in with the Holy Ghost on a frequent basis and manner. Being on constant alert to not allow manifest works of the flesh to thrive
in his field. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. Say, if ye through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Thus, the few that submits to this work becomes full of the Holy Ghost, who is a token of the inheritance and the seal of the purchased possession. So, what does it mean to constantly check in with the Holy Ghost? Is you are living a Holy Ghost conscious life. There's nobody that will drop any work of the flesh without daily living a Holy Ghost conscious life. Nobody. There's nobody. You can't find strength enough to drop certain habits that you have used for a long time. If on a daily basis, there is no engagement, there's no communion, there's no fellowship with the Holy Ghost. So, because why? The Holy Ghost is the one. Say, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, 7 men of honest report. Full of what? And full of what?
Wisdom.
So, see, the reason why you are engaging the Holy Ghost is to touch wisdom. Wisdom is profitable to direct. See, wisdom is at different levels, but at every level, it directs. So, to let go, to find a route out of things that had held you bound, you can never do it without that engagement and fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because when you are doing that, what the Holy Ghost is doing by that consistency is that he will begin to minister by the word that you are hearing, by the direction that he's bringing you into, by the fellowship he is instructing you about. He's bringing you into that place whereby substance of faith will abide in the heart. What does the substance of faith deliver? It delivers wisdom. Forget it. It's not about New Year resolution. Wisdom must enter the heart. Holy Ghost is the one that will beat that thing out of you. He knows how you will escape that thing. If not, you will forever just be saying, I'm just trusting, I don't know what to do. No, Holy Ghost living on the inside of you knows how you will escape that thing. Holy Ghost has custody. He has custody of wisdom. Imagine you are in a maze and then somebody has the map. That's the Holy Ghost. But you are saying, no, I just want to find this thing by myself. You will merry-go-round the same place for 20 years. It was fearful because that thing that Apostle Paul was telling that church. He said, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? He was telling them, you carry the Holy Ghost. How can you? No, Holy Ghost should not be inside you and you are giving your body to a harlot. It is not done. Holy Ghost inside you is enough to direct you with wisdom out of that thing. He's not saying it for them to confess. It was like a warning. He could not fathom it. No, he said, don't you know? So one of the things that Holy Ghost will do to you is that you make you to know. He will cause you to know, and part of that knowing is that he will make you to see the consequences of continuing that thing. Say, because he that defiles this body, the Lord will destroy. A person can be towing a pathway of destruction. Holy Ghost is inside. Holy Ghost is not just there to just say, hey, my boy, I'm so sorry. No. He's there to instruct you out of it. And daily there must be communion, fellowship, a desire to want to get this wisdom that directs. Let's look at labor of faith in the Lord Jesus and love to all saints. Washed, sanctified, and justified. At the new birth, the Holy Ghost recreates the believer's spirit and indwells him. However, the soul, which represents the field, must undergo continual labor of washing, sanctification, and cleansing from the filthiness of the flesh. All these are made possible as the Holy Spirit tutors the believer in faith and love within the church and its household. This labor extends beyond asking and receiving. It is the cultivation of a manner of life that opposes those ungodly roots. Through this continual labor, old habits are displaced. Faith is imparted through engagement with the word of this life, and it is the reagent for cleansing the believer and separating them from former habits and patterns. Through this knowledge, the believer is instructed in conduct that fosters fellowship and communion with the Holy Spirit and the saints, thereby restoring order, decency, purity, and fruitfulness within the field. You know, one particular example that stood out for me, you know, was, I don't know if it was at her workplace and the likes, and normally she was not at fault. Actually, the other person was the one at fault and the likes, and Holy Ghost told her, give her an instruction. Now, forgotten the exact thing. Either she should go and talk to the person, maybe greet the person, just to ensure that peace is brokered. Can we say amen? But she was finding it difficult. She was refusing and saying, no, I'm not going. No. But what actually stood out for me was what the Holy Ghost now told her. The Holy Ghost told her that, you know, this other person can cut corners to get money. You know, this other person can go against the law of life to get provisions and get, but you are relying on me for all these things. Supernatural provision, waiting on him for things. He said that thing made her to see that she must do all she must to not break fellowship with the Holy Ghost. You know, some believers are very comfortable if fellowship is broken. They don't care. That's why you see somebody that can stay in malice for hours, can stay in malice for days, in fact, weeks, in fact, years. Years. Stay in malice for years, stay in unforgiveness for years. Why are people emboldened in certain things? There's no more connect with the Holy Spirit. They might be believers and Holy Ghost is in their spirit, but that sense of knowing not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, because it must keep sounding to you that you are carrying the Holy Ghost. And you must keep sounding to you what the Holy Ghost is meant to do inside of you. Must keep sounding to you that Holy Ghost wants to make my field honest. Holy Ghost wants to make my field honest. Holy Ghost is in my field for the purpose of labor. Holy Ghost is not just for speaking in tongues. Holy Ghost is not just for the spectacular. Holy Ghost is there to ensure that my field becomes honest. But when you see somebody that is okay, doesn't care, the knowledge of who the Holy Ghost has not dawned on him. So one thing that you can see about such a person, that person lacks discernment. You know, just like Esau, what is the birthright to me? So who is the Holy Ghost to me? We are talking about pressing important matters. This person just slapped me right now. I think there's one Holy Ghost that I should listen to. Because we don't have an understanding of who the Holy Ghost is and his ministry in our lives. 1 Corinthians 6, know ye not. Don't you know? Why? Because knowledge is what they use. Knowledge is the tool, is the reagent they use to ensure that certain things. So another thing that faith delivers to the heart is discernment. You discern the Holy Ghost and you discern the other saints around you. But discernment will bring you to a point of acknowledging the Holy Ghost in them and what he's also doing in their field. If you are going to acknowledge what the Holy Ghost is doing in another person's field, you must even understand what he's doing in your own field. You must know what he's doing in your own field. So when you see somebody that's okay, waking up in the morning, go out, come back, and there's nothing inside him that is calling him back, that is pulling him, that is saying, why are you doing like this now? Why? There's nothing. It's because there's no substance of faith in the heart. I think it's spiritual agbiru. There's no restraint. There's no constraint. There's nothing. When you see your brother, you can express your emotions anyhow. You can open your mouth anyhow. You can act anyhow. There is no order, there's no decency. That thing shows that Holy Ghost is not yet working in that soul. Because one of the things that Holy Ghost will do is that he wants to restore order and decency to the soul. So you see, when you are ordered and decent within, it will now show in your expressions without. So we do certain things, and angels just look at us like, there's no order here. Why do you say that? For the angel's sake, have power over your head.
Because angels are looking at your order. You just do something and say, hey, disorderly, indecent. You say some things and people will laugh, fully jesting, and say, some angels are closing their ears. Because what is coming out of your mouth is disorderly. You know, like when somebody's mouth is smelling badly. In the realm of spirit, sometimes our mouth can be like that. We've not brushed for 7 days. Because Holy Ghost is not informing our breath. At some point, say, yeah, I've been washed, Abby. Some of us have not washed for like 1 month. Because the person that is washing is the Holy Ghost. No devotion to him, no fellowship, no communion. And Holy Ghost is saying, Uti, well, after all, Monday. You never bait. And you don't know that thing is an atmosphere. If somebody is smelling, it's not an atmosphere. When somebody enters, his friend is smelling, I say, oh my God, what perfume are you using? When somebody is not now bathed for like 1 month, just enters everywhere, just oozing. Yeah? You enter a household everywhere, say, ah, they now have to go and buy perfume. They must now do extra labor to ensure that they subdue your own aroma. That's why pastoring is very, because sometimes the pastor will see a soul that, tell him about what household they lay. It will overshadow all their own aroma. This one don't have strong aroma that can stop this one. No? So you can enter your house and your aroma will feel everywhere. Because of you, the whole everywhere is scattered. Atmosphere is daru. You don't know. They say, don't take somebody until pastor approves you. Hey, I tell that person enters and they smell everywhere. Everywhere. Just, Because you carry an atmosphere. And if you don't wash, it's smelling. You smell. So some of your thoughts, they'll say, how will I think this kind of thing? You yourself, you see the house, some people don't know it's smelling. You know, there was an experiment that if you enter a particular room that is smelling badly, the first 2 minutes is what you need. Say, this place is smelling. Happened in our office one time. But after 2 minutes, it just become normal. You won't smell it again. And that person that is not coming, I'm be like, what's smelling here? What is this smell? Everybody smelling. Let that person stay for another 5 minutes. It won't smell again. I'll be like, this is normal. Say, why? You are just doing too much. So you now enter your household. You now overshadow them with your smell that before they know it. No, how come some people, they have so much use fornication that around them, that aura is there. That smell is there. You can be talking Bible, but the atmosphere that you are generating is that thing. They have not been washed. And that thing smells. Works of the flesh, they smell. It smells. That's why they must be washing. They must be washing. Everyday washing. Your body tells you how your soul can be. You say, I will not brush in the morning. I will not bathe in the morning. I'll just quickly rush to the office and do my work. It's when I come back in the night. Is that what you are doing? When you are doing, I want to do fellowship in the night. You're not doing it in the morning. When I come back in the night, I will have time for it. But by that morning, you have already oozed on people. No wonder Apostle Paul was saying that we are a fragrance or a savour of life. Can be a savour of a very smelly thing. And that is what filthiness of the flesh does. When something is filthy, what does it mean? When you hear filthy, what does it tell you? It's smelling. Filthiness speaks of that ojota heap. That's the closest definition to filthiness. If they say, come and take this land for free and build your house there, you and your family, will you go and take it? Because even passing there, it's so fun that you cover your nose, you still be smelling it. You wind up. AC, it is still enter. How? It is enter there. So they want to bring back orderliness. They want to bring back decency. No, that's why even in the Corinthian church, they were enriched in knowledge, enriched in utterance, but they lacked order and decency. Who was giving them the enrichment in utterance? It was the Holy Ghost. So that means you can limit the work of the Holy Ghost and not allow him to wash you. There can be giftings, but no washing. Holy Ghost wants to wash. Reason why he's inside the soul, inside the spirit, is that I have concon, I have soap. We want to wash. But then the believer is not interested. When Apostle Paul, they gave him the report of that church that there was fornication amongst them. And he was telling them that you are supposed to be mourning and not be puffed up. There's no shamefacedness. You just feel okay. Life just goes on normally. There's no grief. The church was okay. They saw somebody practicing fornication. Now, many of you have opened social media and seen maybe they wrote about something about a man of God and just felt, what is this? With this kind of thing. And you've contributed your own mouth, your quota. There was no mourning in the heart. You could talk about it, you could gossip about it, but there was no iota of mourning in the heart. You did not feel it as though, yeah, this is my brother. This is my brother that is doing this thing. Ah, God. He says, so that this thing can be taken away from you. So some things will not be taken away until certain portions of heart come to us. So there is a level of mourning you will have before that fornication will drop. Then you should have rather mourned. So the believer is brought into an awareness of the consequences of rejecting the order established by the Holy Spirit. Consequently, fear is cultivated as the believer learns to discern every ordinance, relationship, and responsibility, being instructed in every manner of conduct within the community of saints. 1 Corinthians 14:33 and verse 40. So, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Say, churches of the saints. Talking about love towards all the saints. Let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also, you know, seeth the Lord. So talking about some particular women there that had unruly tongues and were always interrupting the order of service. So this was in context. Then verse 40. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongues. Let all things be done. What? Decently. Say decently. And in what? And in order. So the church of the Holy Ghost has order. Orderliness is a big thing for the Holy Ghost. If you say, that's where you can even say that. Some people are not, people say, I heard the Holy Ghost, but the life is disorderly. One of the primary things that Holy Ghost will do in your life is that he will bring order. Orderliness will come to your life. One thing that shows that you are hearing the Holy Ghost is that you begin to tell you about order. Orderliness in the home, orderliness in the church, how to attend to matters, how to deal with people, relationships. Your heart must be order, orderly in everything. That's what shows that, yes, this person is hearing the Holy Ghost. Why would they say, select from among yourself men full of the Holy Ghost, and those men were orderly men? That church could see that, out of all of us, people that we know that can serve this table well is these people. Because Stephen was a man of order. Philip was a man of order. We could see that in Philip. After the Samaria church turned, the whole city turned, he did not now go and erect a banner, Philip and Sons Ministry. Of Philip and Daughters Prophecy International. He said he called for the... He understood order. I know the capacity of what I can do. Let those that can do beyond me come and do this. So that thing did not just start here. It started from where he was working from, first of all. Because whatever order we don't learn now, whenever you have certain openings in the future, it is still the same thing. Will be disorderly. Can we say amen? Amen? Knowledge increases the believer's discernment of the person and labor of the Holy Ghost within himself and the fields around him. causing him to observe caution. He's an unwise man that just does everything anyhow. You say anything anyhow. Say, me, I know they fear anybody. Just open your mouth and you talk. Say, well, God is not a respecter of person. Me say, I know they respect person. In fact, brothers and sisters, there's no caution in your relationships. One of the things that will not make you to touch a sister is caution. You are cautious that, if I call her dear now, she might begin to think, I only call her dear, I not call other people dear. If I buy something for her, now, some people will just say, well, that's how I feel. You're my friend. Let's just do it. No. There must be caution. That caution is plenty checks. Holy Ghost will be there. See, you buy banana, 7 pieces of banana, and then the first person that you are walking towards is that sister, and then the other sister is there. Say, this is a banana. You take one. Why are you giving that sister a banana every time? Why? Because it is lack of caution. There's no caution. There's nothing that Holy Ghost cannot press your brake. That's what is called caution. There's brake. They are driving you, and you want to say, hey! And then you don't hit another person. That's caution. In your talking, say, hey, and then you can keep quiet. They've been able to press your brake. So if they cannot press your brake, imagine a car that doesn't have brake. That's a disaster happening already. Just going freely, hitting everybody, hitting everything, moving here and there. So what part of all that is caution? You see a post online. People are saying things. You want to type with your hand. There's caution. Your heart is wanting to say something. They say, why are you thinking that? Not just you are not typing it, but your comment is even worse than what some people have written down. You might not type physically and say, but your heart has typed. So Holy Ghost will look at, hey, why are you arriving at this conclusion about this matter? Why? These are labor. So somebody said you heard something about somebody and then you want to say something to another person. You want to say something. And Holy Ghost is saying, don't say it. They are trying to press your brake. But the car is saying, no, I want to go. So labor to heed caution of the Spirit. Labor to heed caution. You are on your phone doing mindless scrolling, endless scrolling. Holy Ghost will just jump out at you. Hey! But you say, one more reel. And that thing becomes your reality. Say, one more. Just one more. Because that thing is a caution. To say, it is okay. They are pressing, but it is Otito. Say, this thing, let me just finish it. There was a particular movie I was seeing. It was a series movie, and I was really enjoying it. Till today, I don't know where it ends. I got to a point, I wanted to continue, but as I was carrying it, I would be feeling palpitations inside me. That praise, you do. I'm not supposed to go here. So I'll go against it. I said, okay, let me just know where it finishes. You say, you don't need to know where it finishes. Leave it at that point. Say, this suspense, I want to finish it. Say, no. Is it against me watching movies? But there is something that they are training me to be able, that when I'm pressing caution, you know, there are some brakes that they are no longer sensitive. The one I was using to learn, the acceleration and the brake, we are no longer very okay. So to accelerate, we press it down before the car will now go. To brake, you press it down. And I enter another of my brother's car that I want to try it. Say, hey, God, I bless you. So I say, so, cars different from cars. That one, I'll say, are we press it? Oh, yeah, go. So imagine a believer that they are trying to press. He press it. Go to Nemo, you know. He's still going. That's what happens when we don't quickly yield to caution. It will now take the Holy Ghost to do more to get it to that point. It will now take the Holy Ghost. So the more sensitive you are to quickly yield to caution, you can easily pick caution next time. But if you overlook caution over and over again, they will now be pressing you. It will now be, praise my Lord. Praise my Lord. Causing him to observe caution as considering one another. And weighing every action by the interest and well-being of others, leaving no room for excesses and exuberances of the flesh. This tenderizes the field for continual workings of the Spirit. Husband and wife, rendering to yourself due benevolence, they took power of your body as a man and gave it to your wife. You took power of your body as a wife and gave it to your husband. And I did not say, yeah, you guys sort it out. So they say power versus power. But the woman say, this boy, let me get this body. The man say, yeah. And then there's war. But what will that now train you to do? How are you now going to consider another person above your own this, above your own desires? Discernment informs love. See, discernment informs love. You are just going to treat everybody, you know, according to the flesh without discernment. What discernment will make you see? It will see, make you see the power of your wife. Discernment will make you see the power of your husband. Make you see the power of other saints. Make you see the power of spiritual authority. And that is what will inform how you relate to each person individually. Because you're able to discern. This is not just Daddy Junior. This is not just Mommy Junior. There is something about this person that I must honor. That I must discern and ensure that my practices are in love. Discernment informs love and teaches believers to become fellow laborers with the Holy Spirit, both in the redemption of their own field and in ministering to the welfare and growth of the fields of others. Guided by the Spirit, the believer willingly gives preference to whatever preserves the unity, peace, and accord of the saints, esteeming the fellowship of the church and its household above every competing relationship, affection, or personal interest. Amid opposition, contradiction, incitement, enticement and hostility of demons and evil spirits, and at times of men, the believer is bold to live a separated life. One of the things that faith, the substance of faith, delivers is boldness. Yes, Daddy. It's boldness. Why would they be beating some people and say, don't preach? And they will say that, judge it, you yourself judge it. Who should we obey, you or God? That thing is boldness. That thing is faith in the Lord Jesus. It would be wrong to say, oh, faith is just that, oh, I can pray and I can get. No. Yes, you can pray and you can get. This is the real expression of faith in the Lord Jesus. Whereby you can stand in your office and say, no, I will not be a party to this bribery and corruption. It's because you have faith in the Lord Jesus. So you judge it. This thing is not right. Because in the church, Corinthian church, brother was defrauding brother. They said defrauding. But they were defrauding themselves. And it was in the church. It was not a believer that came to defraud. If it was somebody outside that came to defraud, no. Your person that you see, saints that you are in church together, they defraud. 419 was there. In the church. And then one person defrauded, the other person said, lie, we must go to court. Paul said that both you and you, is there nobody wise? See where wisdom comes in. So that thing, that criteria of wisdom there is the wisdom that the Holy Ghost giveth. Say, is there no one wise among you that can judge from brother to brother? Is that there's no wise man among you? Say, no one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. So judging of these natural matters, if a church is not full of Holy Ghost, you see a whole lot of things will be happening. A whole lot will be happening. By the time you are finishing one fight here, another one is starting there. By the time you are finishing one fight here, another one is starting there. Be like, hey, ain't it real long? No, I used to be in a choir back then. No, as you are thinking you are finishing it, one person is saying, well, I don't want to have anything in my mind. So let me say the thing so that my mind can be clear. By the time you start saying what his mind is clear, and that person's mind is becoming shady. Because the word he's saying is affecting another person. By the time you start saying, Eddie's hurting you. I mean, we thought you had finished this fight. We will leave that place. It has not been resolved. A people that are not every day actively engaging with the Holy Ghost, it will be issues in the church. It will cause issues. Sometimes because I want to be able to go home, open my Bible, and have sweet fellowship. And then I see that, something is there. I quickly go and meet my brother. I said this thing. Even that person does not even feel that it meant anything. But it was already standing in my heart that you have overspoken. You said what you are not supposed to say. I said, sir, I said, I did not mean it. You might not mean it, but it means to me. Say, I'm sorry. I should not have spoken like that. Please forgive me. And I go home and I have communion. Say, thank you, Holy Ghost. I like it. There's boldness. Boldness to stand for the Lord Jesus.
boldness to identify with him. These labors are made possible within the context of a company, the church and its household, where believers are joined together in fellowship, discipleship, and mutual edification. Within this community, the inheritance of the Holy Spirit is progressively manifested as the work of redemption advances. The last subtopic here, we have redemptive program within the church of the Holy Ghost. We've seen the labor. That labor is meant to accomplish a program. Say the labor of faith and love redeems from the following. And the first one is redeemed from kindred. What do you mean of kindred? Same kind. So one of the things that faith and love wants to do is that it wants to redeem you from your kindred. Every one of us have kindred, though. Previously, we wanted to limit this thing to tribe, but we saw that kindred is more broad. Because this kindred is not only talking about lineage or ethnicity. It can be the vibe of your soul. The soul vibes. The way your soul vibes is not the way the soul of another person vibes. So because of that, just keep the person at arm's length. But you can find somebody that your soul vibes together. This is a very good vibe. So we can see that it is not just limited to tribe alone. There's a lot of things that can define your kindred. See, every soul is naturally inclined towards its own kind, whether by lineage, and this place of lineage is also very serious. So some people will say, I am from this tribe. We are stubborn. They will glorify that thing, that in this tribe we are stubborn. They say, it's Jesus that is helping us, so, but we are stubborn. Jesus has not yet helped you yet. When Jesus are helping you, you will begin to denounce that thing. You will deny that thing. That because in Jesus there is no Greek, there is no Jew, there is no Egyptian, there is no Kiti, there is no Kiniko. See, in this place, these people are stingy. They're stingy. See, Akagon. See, they are very stingy with money. And then they will now define it as, we are the savers. We are not the spenders. No, they're savers and spenders, though. That's but some people hide under that thing, but they will not know that kindred can use that thing to hide. Because I need to be checking myself. They say, from my tribe, we are very stingy. Say, praise, are you stingy? I need to keep checking with my wife. Am I stingy? Why? There are many things that define many kindreds, and we wear them as badge. Glorified evil. For my clan, we are bold. And this is not boldness that Holy Ghost gives. We can stand up to anybody. Where I'm from, I don't go home to receive response. I have it with me. You know that place that scripture says that every man should have an answer for the faith that is in them. This one will be fatal. Now answer of people shenanigans. You think you are foolish? I have a response. And some people, by the time they give you your response, you will think of your life again. And really, truth be told, some people have responses. Do you know how much work Holy Ghost we have to do to collect that response? And somebody is talking hotly and you have a response. And you were about to say that Holy Ghost is pressing that thing. Say, hey! Holy Ghost even beg them. Say, please. Just please. Because if you say this one, this other soul that I'm also trying to redeem, my redemption will never touch it again. Because this tongue will drive this person far away from redemption. Say, I beg. Just calm down. So we all have different things that define our kindred. It can be culture. It can be affinity. Some people's kind of worship. Say, I'm not just myself when I've not danced to my Lord. I've not shake. My body must shake. I must sweat. I know that I've done service to God. And then you come to church and then, carry me away in the spirit. I say, will you leave? I could see God gone. Because I'll do everything. MIT carry me. That particular thing can deny a soul of progressing.
Or in fact, in worship team, you might even have one person that, when that person comes, hey, yes, this is my person. Another person is singing, say, let's give the mic to the next person. See, when the next person comes, we know that there will be fire. When the next person comes, we know that there will be thunder. When the next person comes, you also can have an affinity for preachers. I don't know what the man say, okay, he's trying. Or the next person say, hey, this is fire. This is what you are talking about. NYSC then, somebody came to meet me. And he said, I like the way you minister. He said, my soul likes somebody that speaks very fast. And I mean, I don't speak fast too. He said, because the way it was coming from, they speak it one by one by one. Well, you can bring many scriptures together. And this kind of ministration that they are saying, they are pressing keyboard with it. The Lord said, hey, everybody's on fire. Or then you come and then you are hearing, you know, this is what the Lord says. Yeah, you just sleep. No, that sleep is because of affinity. You will not labor to stay awake because you are blaming the thing on the preacher. Not only that, you are supposed to work on yourself, that irrespective of how the vessel that is bringing the word, I must labor to receive it. So it's not easy to hold flesh. It's not easy. You might not know that some things are there. They are works of the flesh, but you just feel that, well, this is just me. This is just my person. But that is not your person. It's a kindred that is talking. And they want to deliver you from. They want to redeem us from that sin. They want to redeem us from it. That's why Jesus could vibe with 12 different people. All of them were different. There were some people that the only time you hear their voice is once. You only hear their voice one time. After that one time, you don't hear it again. This guy that said, I will not believe until I see. That soul was a particular kind of soul. That all of you, what a bobo in. Until I see with my eyes and put my finger into the hollow. And Jesus Christ came to his level. Jesus Christ came to his level. Jesus Christ came down to his level. You want to see it? Okay, this is it. In that same company, we had the talkative people. People that every chapter you will see them answering questions they were not asked. And he answered and said, where is the question? No question. Because inside him, he has questions. He has a lot of questions. Somebody met me and said, sir, I am a person of questions. I said, okay. I have plenty of questions. I said, okay, bring it on. Say, I can ask questions. I said, okay. And some people you meet with them, they will never ask you a question. Some people are outgoing. Some people are not outgoing. But Jesus Christ was with all of them. Every one of them. He could vibe with every one of them. He could relate with every one of them. There was no, he loves this more than this. People that say he loves this, they were the one that were saying this with their mouth. Because I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The only person that said this is the disciple that Jesus loved is John. Say it about himself. Although he balanced it, he said he loved his own till the end. He loved all of them. But I feel John was a personal person. That this Jesus is my Jesus. So we can see that these affinities can form social circles. Cliques within the church. They can form cliques within the church. You must fight against cliques. Don't say that it's just me and these people. No. You must ensure that you are open. You must be open to be able to accommodate as much as the Lord is bringing your way. You must intentionally fight it. They must redeem you from that thing. They must redeem you from it. Niche. You can carve a niche in the church. That's where class comes in. You can come in and you have a lot of money and you feel because of that, you can call the shots. You enter church and you don't feel like you should. You immediately say, I think I should join the workforce. And from there, I think I can be a bishop or I can be a deacon. No, bishop, not like in the sense of bishop as you want to take some level of responsibility. You feel that, well, I've served in campus fellowship. Then now I think I can. No. That thing, nobody must give himself that honor. Nobody must feel that we are capable of doing some things. It must be the Lord that calls you for some things. And it must not be based on, I have money, I have means, I have resources, I have advantage. Because those things, they spoil church. What do you have money now? Before you know it, because you have means and resources,
people around the church that sincerely don't have means, they come around you because, oh, you are able to connect and, oh, maybe just link them up to, and then they begin to have things. And because of that, what you say must now be law. What you say must now be what everybody must do. Not knowing that there is still a set authority, a set order in the church. After you have done all those things, you must see yourself as an unprofitable servant. This can stem from a sense of superiority, rooted in natural descent, heritage, class, status, or tribal identity, causing believers to impose their customs and preferences on others as though they were requirements for acceptance before God or fellowship among the saints. We saw something like this in the early church, where the Jews began to say that except you are circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. So we take certain things that God is not laying it as a demand. You know, there's a way you can grow up in a particular place and your soul is more tilted in a direction. It could be in the way people dress. It could be in the way people sit, even in church. Different that just feel that, no, this thing, I want to impose it. So the Jews wanted to impose circumcision of Moses on the Gentiles. Gentiles, they were fellowship saying, except you are circumcised, all what you are doing is nonsense. And sometimes we need to check ourselves, because many of us have conservations in certain things which might not necessarily be a demand or a standard in God. We might have reservations that is not something that God is outrightly saying that this is how it should be done. We must be able to draw the line. Ah, this is my own personal preferences. So, and there's, oh, this is their own personal preferences. And then foster for peace. Fellowship must still continue. This can give rise to partiality, party spirit, prejudice, division, and discrimination in how others are treated. Acts chapter 6 says some people, they began to neglect some people because they were Grecians in the daily distribution. That daily distribution can be anything, because you don't know what you have until you reach certain positions. Because the people that were serving this thing, they entrusted it into their hands. You can entrust it into your hands, and before you know it, you are more, some sisters. Before I put my, hello, pastor, how are you doing? I just said I should greet you. Ah, okay, thank you for greeting me, man. How are you doing? Next day, greeting again. Ah, but there are some brothers, they will never chat you. They will never call you. I don't say, sir, I need to see you, sir. We have a report to give. Can I see you? And there's a way your heart might be more open to certain people that are showing more. You're always moving to, okay, this person, okay, this person, okay, this person, okay. But the other person that, say, ah, are you serious? Are you serious? Ha! You look dead. So you don't know where you can be prejudiced until some things are given to you. You don't know. Even me, because to see my, say, no. Because of this particular person, I must intentionally involve this person. Let this person come and do this thing. It will be that the Lord is the one that is saying, don't let him. Not that it's because I'm prejudiced against him. But you will not know that prejudice has already grown in your heart. You just feel like it's normal. Available, and you have concluded it. Holy Ghost will still press brakes. Say, okay, look at it again. No? Look at it again. No? Look at it again. No? Hey, it can happen even in the household. In the household. Somebody is always, hey, is this that? I say, this person, okay. And then some things will come up, and that's the first person you think about. Prejudice is serious. It's serious. Unless you get to some places. I know that I've not gotten to some places too. I know that Holy Ghost will keep working on our hearts. Can we say amen? Amen. Party spirit. The middle wall of partition that separated Jews and Gentiles has been broken down, revealing God's desire to remove the barriers that divide and separate. People from diverse backgrounds are brought together in the church and household to fellowship, interact, and serve one another, learning to lay aside natural preferences and to receive and serve all saints without bias. Certain habits, mannerisms, and disposition become distinctive to kinds and may be worn as marks of identity. Yet the believer must not glory in it, must not excuse it, or resign himself to such patterns as inherent weaknesses. He must submit to and embrace his new identity, continually striving to live according to his nature and expression. Then we have redeemed from every tongue. The tongue can signify the taste bud, appetite, and preference of the field, what it enjoys, craves, and continually seeks. The Holy Ghost labors to bring this appetite under check through the church and family life government. Do you know that some people, the reason why they will get offended is that they have a very sweet voice.
And during workers in training, they will not put them in worship team. They put them in ushering or sanitation or pastoral care. And that sweet voice seems to be laying to waste. If they can just allow me to sing once, if pastor can be privileged to hear me sing once, he will know that where he has put me is wrong. And that is the Holy Ghost that put you there. Because that thing is your taste bud. You can attain salvation without singing. Without standing on the altar and singing, you can attain salvation. You can walk by the Spirit without holding the microphone. Within the household, there are certain food that you like and food that you don't like. And there's a timetable that says, this is the food. And then you will carry your money and go outside. And go and buy food outside. That thing is still not a Holy Ghosted life. Holy Ghost must train your tongue. There was a missionary that went to a particular town. Food that they had there was boiled yam and palm oil. White man, boiled yam and palm oil. The first day he ate it, his stomach turned him. He went to the toilet several times as though he would die. But that was the food they had there. He had an alternative to carry his bag and go back or to stay. But the Lord sent him there. What did he do? He said, Lord has sent me here. Definitely this yam will not kill me. And he continued eating that yam and oil. He turned his stomach for a while, but his body adjusted. What did that man do there? His tongue was redeemed though. So he said, no, me, I don't just like this food. And you're in a household that they're eating the food. What are you supposed to do in that household? To align. And the Holy Ghost, I must love this food. They say, what they serve on the table, eat it without asking questions. You must receive it with thanksgiving. Eat it and say, ah, I don't like this. Ah, this food, hey. But you will eat it. You will eat it. Say, Holy Ghost, help me. Holy Ghost, help me to eat this food and to love it. This is the food the household is eating. I'm a member of this household. I must eat this food and love it. That's integration. No? Integration into a household, that might be an obedience. Imagine that man that was eating yam and oil. I said, because my body is not, I think I'm going back. And the Lord that sent him there knew that that thing returned his stomach. And he left him to be eating it. And he got accustomed to it. And that was, and he learned it. And the body became okay with it. Adjusted after a while. Because the body can adjust. Still on that tongue, the tongue reveals what has been cultivated within the heart. So sometimes they might not be able to deal with the heart yet first. But then the tongue will just show what is in the heart. And then they begin to attack that tongue so that they can capture the heart. So when you see an unruly and sharp tongue, hey, when you say something like this, hey, hey, you can scatter church. Foolish jesting, gossip. Gossip has spoiled relationships. You hear something, somebody was saying to you in confidence, you go and tell another person in another confidence, and you are telling the person that I'm telling you in confidence what they told you in confidence, and that's how it will be in confidence till the whole church becomes confidential. Everybody will know about that confidential matter that's been committed to you. And why? You are saying things. Something that should die and perish in your stomach. You open your mouth and you say, ah, see, this I should not tell you. But you know that we understand. So this and this and this and this and this. And that thing can affect the way somebody sees another person. If I want you to hear something, maybe that person even means harm to a person. That thing will be relayed through you. Will not bring that harm. Somebody means harm. And he's ranting, he's saying things. And you, by me, by passing, you heard it. You're going to say, hey, Diva, what did this person even said about you? No. The right way to do it is that as God has helped you, go and meet that person. Ah, why are you talking about this person like this? This person offend you. Ah, this offense is not good. It must not stay in your heart, though. I will advise that you settle this matter. But what will show that the heart is not yet honest is that you are already looking for the fault of that person. So as you heard it like this, hey, he did that. Oh my God. No, 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 no. People shouldn't talk like that. That was too harsh. Oh my God. Hey. And you are relating it like that. And everybody is judging that person by that lens. exaggeration. You are saying something now because you want it to be sweet. You add a jasa. You add a jasa. And the Holy Ghost is saying, hey, can you mashele? This did not happen. No. But as you are saying it, it's getting sweeter. It's getting sweeter. And you just keep on saying, and the Holy Ghost is pressing break, but you are not responding. Exaggeration. Blowing things out of proportion. Blowing things out of proportion. Loquacious is always talking, always having something to say, always having an opinion to give. There's never a time that the mouth or the tongue, you know, is under order. The tongue, see this tongue, this mouth, no. This mouth, hear what the Holy Ghost wants you to say and say it. Any other thing apart from that, keep quiet. Lying. I used to lie before. And when I observe that, why is lying happening to me? Sometimes they ask you a question suddenly, and you know that if I say the truth, it can go to another way. Immediately. As in, you are not thinking it. A lie flows out freely. Out of your belly is flowing out what? No rivers of living water this time. That shows you that there's something inside that heart that can, in a split second, manufacture a lie. There's a generator, a machine inside. You don't need to think. You don't need to go and sleep and wake up. At the point that they are asking you, you are responding in lie, and the person is convinced. It's only your conscience that will say, hey, you're all alike. So sometimes, how will they now stop you from lying? You would have generated a lie. You now say, now go back and say, ma, I lied. I lied. It don't really happen like that, though. This is how it now really happened, though. When you were saying it, I was under pressure. I just generated that thing. I lied, sir. I lied, man. That confession. You have dealt a blow to that thing. But I'll be like, ah, how would I now go back? It will tarnish my reputation. Me that I don't feel like, ah, I don't, you know, that thing. You have just given that thing an award. Say, continue. Good and faithful servant. Generation of lie will now multiply. That's what leads to insincerity, cunningness, and craftiness. The tongue is trained to continually give thanks, overcoming murmurings and complaints. Through the order of the church and household, the believer is corrected. The brother is corrected. You must be in a place that they can correct you and say, Tito, we are talking about someone. They say, no, don't talk about this person like that. This is not the right way to talk about this person. Don't respond like this. Must be able to tell you that in the church and in the household. People that must look into your matter in the place of talking. Say, no, that's not how to talk. That's not how to respond. Murmur, complain. No, because they can give you certain tasks in the household. We will do it, though, but there's complaint. We do it, but there's more. But you know that thing, there's no reward for that thing. There's no reward for that thing. Complaining and murmuring. The mouth must be trained to be giving thanks, even in the midst of adverse circumstances. When you feel like, oh, this thing is against me, there's pressure all around, ah, there's a whole lot, you must keep giving thanks. There must be a meter that measures how that mouth responds. Redemption from ungodly deeds of the body, that's the last part. The physical body works closely with the unrenewed mind, making man sensual, manifesting all manner of ungodly works within his field. Family life is endowed with the order and power to place the believer under godly observation and processes that expose, restrain, and progressively deal with these expressions. Yielding to the training of the church and household and cooperating with the Holy Ghost to modify these expressions makes the soul honest and equipped to live above their power and control. Forget it. A person that does not stay within church and household can never have these things taken care of. God doesn't have any other place. Where God really does his labor is in the church and in households. That's where they look into matters delicately. So you must strive. We taught it in the last lesson. We must know that the church, we said it before, is a flotilla. It floats above the world so that everybody that it has gathered now begins to learn another kind of life. And that is the labor that we have all been called, you know, to bestow upon our field. Can we just pray this morning? Now all these labors, this program that we have seen, you know, and these labors, they will not just be things that we've just heard, you know, that will begin to actively co-labor with the Lord of the harvest. Co-laboring will begin with the Lord of the harvest to address all these things. Can we just pray?
Can we respond? Can we respond to Jesus? Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Thank you for help, you know, even to God's servant, Thank you, Jesus. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Can we appreciate Pastor? Praise Adeleye. That was well taught. I must say that I am washed. This is well taught. You know, I just want to ask us one question. As good as this sand, how many of us are really repenting? You know, one of the essence of this lesson is for us to repent, you know, and be converted. Because if this is not happening, we have only heard another message. You know, this is a house of bread, and the Lord comes to us, you know, every now and then. And there's a way we can do despise, you know, to a message like this. You know, this series has been with a whole lot of instruction for repentance. And not just to just stay there and be converted. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be what? Blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. This is what I see the Lord doing with us. Especially matching the household and the church together is becoming clearer by the day, even as this lesson progresses, that we cannot have an healthy church without an healthy household. And, you know, you cannot really tell about the work of the Holy Ghost. You know, like we saw in the Corinthian church, we saw expression, we saw gift of the Holy Ghost, but we cannot see the character of the Holy Ghost in them. You know, we saw how they are without checks. You know, one thing that is common in this lesson is that place of check that the Holy Ghost actually gives. And on many occasions, we neglect it. You know, there's a way you can think that you are capable to handle some things. You know, there's a way you think, you know, we can think, actually by virtue of work with the Lord, I can think that I'm capable of handling some things. And that's what leads a lot of us, you know, or leads people to getting themselves into some trouble. You know, like Pastor was saying, you know, you don't know how you enter trouble sometimes. Because you can by yourself, you know, journey to trouble. And before that trouble comes, Holy Ghost would have, you know, started, you know, put a check. Don't go this way. Don't do this thing. Because Holy Ghost know the end of every matter. And that's why even from the beginning, he will begin to instruct the heart on what not to do. And the essence of that is for a man not to get to a point of no return. What we call habits, you know, are things that we habitate. You know, it becomes where a man dwells. What stop habit is actually checks. You know, when you are check, and, you know, Holy Ghost is still checking because it will not stop checking, but you have overpowered the voice of the Holy Ghost. There is a way a man can meet himself where he least expected. I'm telling you, it is possible for a tongue-tugging believer to fall in fornication. Why? Because you neglected the voice of the Holy Ghost. And one thing about this teaching that makes it so important to the church, because if a man will not have a sense and a deep fellowship with the Holy Ghost daily, you would always fall to the hand and the trap of the enemy. The place of fellowship is very, very important. You know, one thing that caught my attention is in 2 Corinthians 7:1. We know the First Corinthian church is not the Second Corinthian church. And they are speaking to a church that we're speaking, you know what 2 Corinthians 6 ended with? They having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and what? And spirit. You know, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So if holiness will be perfected, you know, filthiness of the flesh must be dealt with too. And nothing called fitness of flesh must remain. Every expression. You know, because there's a way we can you know, dodge around the fact that, you know, it's a soul matter. You know, we are so conscious people and we neglect expression that are visibly seen. We know that it's from within. But there are some things that you are energized by doing. Yeah, there are things that become more powerful because you continue to exercise yourself in them. And that's why it's good to check what we do. As much as we know that thought is a sin, you know, your thought must not drive you to performance of things that are wrong sometimes. So, and the redemption of our fear starts from what we do. So we must not neglect that. Why am I saying this? Yes, there is a way we can neglect that part. You can feel that it does not matter now. I know my heart is clean. And you are enjoying another person. You know, there's a way you can, especially for some of us that are single, we know your heart is clean. Eh? But there's a way you shouldn't hold a sister that is a teenager already. Because there are times you will not do some things because of other people. And we can be caught in that web, especially people of truth. There is a way I shouldn't dress, even though I have liberty. You know, it does not really matter. But like, you know, scripture teaches decency. Everything must be done, you know, decently and in order. There are clothes you cannot wear out of my house as a sister. Not because it's bad, but it's bad. It's not because it's exposing your body, eh? But you can cause confusion for somebody that is still trying to gather himself together. So, you know, I just want us to know that the Lord has interest in what we do. Yes, the Lord is doing well. So I know what my heart, it does not really matter. It matters what I do. Because it can affect the faith of other people. You know, if eating of meat, like Paul says, we cause a stumbling block to the way of my brother, I shouldn't hit it. You know, even to marriage, you know, husband and wife, there are things I shouldn't do. No, it does not matter. My wife should know that I shouldn't do some things. If my wife says she doesn't like it, I don't like it. Especially if it will not make me, you know, to disobey God. You know, there's a way I can just know it does not matter. It shows she's not the one that's not understanding this thing. I'm with the Lord. But I'm actually offending in the spirit. So I just see the Lord checking us both from the household and also in the church of God. And that's why the Lord just wants us to be balanced. The Lord wants to raise men that are wholesome, you know, by taking heed to the Holy Ghost in all things. In all things, not leaving some, in all things. Holy Ghost has interest in everything that we do. In our clothing, in how we look, in how we talk, in how we relate. He has interest in everything. And he has what to say, you know, for the redemption of our soul. Can we respond to Jesus?
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.